I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc.
And this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas.
We bring together the mom experience and the doc expertise to give you the information and tools you need to help make the next right decision to get your child back.
Let's dive in.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Mom and Doc Talk. We are here today, just Jody and I, to talk to you a little bit about different dosing strategies that you might come across in when it comes to homeopathy. It says with homeopathy, it's ultra individualized, and there's lots of different ways that you could see dosing of homeopathic remedies work. Within Resilience Naturopathic, we use lots of different types. Within my client base, lots of different types. There are some homeopaths that are going to have their hard and fast rule. This is how they do it. And you know that if you're not seeing success and they have a hard and fast rule, they're not adapting with you. It might be that you just need a different dosing strategy. So let's just go ahead and dive right in.
I'm here to learn and support.
Well, and you've been through a lot of these different ones too. So you can talk to the experience of having to figure out really what works too, right? So let's start with like the difference between potencies. So you can do what's called a centesimal potency or a millesimal potency. Those are the two main ones that you're going to see in classical homeopathy. So centesimal is the 1 to 100 scale. The millesimal is 1 to 50,000 scale. When you're using the centesimal scale, the jumps between the commercially available doses are bigger than in the millesimal scale. So in the centesimal scale, we go from a 6C, which is the 1 to 100, six times, usually to a 30C, though there's a couple of other commercially available potencies like a 12C, sometimes a 15C in between. So the number before the C is the number of times the serial dilution has occurred. So it's 1 to 100, six times in the 6C, 30 times in the 30C. When you get to the M, that's still the centesimal scale. It's just M is for 1,000. So it's 1,000 C is 1 M, 10,000 C is 10 M. And so that tells you how many times the dilutions have happened. So you can see much bigger jumps than with LM1 to LM2. Some places will call them Q1 or Q2 because that's actually more accurate for the description, but a lot of places label them LM1, LM2. So we just generally call them, it means the same thing. So LM1 is 1 to 50,000 one time. It technically starts with a 3C and then starts with a 1 to 50,000, but it's 1 to 50,000 one time for LM1. LM2 is 1 to 50,000 two times. So even though it's 50,000 drops, it's only one change. And so the changes actually end up being smaller from one to the other. All right, Jody, you're blanking out. So we'll get out of the math place. The reason to do these different scales. So first and foremost, the C scale is what's commercial, like most easily over the counter available. It's generally the pellet sizes are bigger. It's more just accessible for a lot of people. And so a lot of people will start there. And so with this scale, most people do pretty well. Some people, it's like a little too strong, if you will, or a little just more, they're more sensitive to it. And some of those people will do better with the LM scale. That said, I've seen plenty of people who are very sensitive to the C potencies, but they don't do better on the LM scale. And so we have to use one of the other dosing strategies that we've talked about. So again, we always have to meet the person where they're at. I know you've had experiences in your family with both the C scale and the LM scale. Anything you want to share about those?
I'm just so grateful that I don't have to like understand any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. that you get it. This is why I love our providers, because they understand all of this. Did the C thing with Avery and stayed there with her, but then with my husband, he was just my most extra kid. Mm-hmm. And moved him to LM, and that was lovely and amazing. And I had never heard that explanation that you just gave of the LM, that it's less time, so that makes a whole lot more sense, or it's smaller jumps.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. But I fell in love
Well,
with LM with him, but I also love C. And then my other daughter's been on both C and LM.
yeah. Well, and so has your husband, because I only recently put him back on an LM potency after he'd been on C for quite a while. So that's the thing, is sometimes you can be used interchangeably, and people can respond to both, sometimes not as much. And so there's also potentially some people, like if they find that they're only responding really well to lower potencies, they might end up doing better on the LM scale. So ultimately, it's working with your provider who understands homeopathy, understands the different potencies and preparations and everything to find which one works best for you, and having flexibility to understand that just because one worked with one remedy or one state that you're in doesn't mean that another wouldn't be more effective in a different state. All right, so from there, there's different ways that you can give the homeopathic remedies. You can give a dry dose or you can give a water dose. Usually, LM potencies are recommended to be given in water. Most people do it that way because that's how Hahnemann described doing it. Occasionally, people have used the dry dose and been fine, but most people just go with water, usually because also people are typically getting there when they're on the more sensitive side. Water dosing is an annoying thing to me, though. And so, like, I only do it if I absolutely have to. I personally hate doing it. My homeopath for a while wanted me to water dose but he wanted me to water dose every single day. And I said, look, all of the extra steps that are required with doing a daily water dose, because he also wanted me to make a new batch every day. But even if it wasn't making a new batch every day, storing it someplace separate from like the other things that I have to take daily, I'm like, look, you got a choice. You can have me take it daily, or you can have me do a water dose. You cannot have me do both, because it just will not happen. So which is more important to you, the water dose or the consistency? All right.
Yep.
That said, there are some people who what's most important is or the only way that they can do a daily dose is to water dose, right? If they're more sensitive. And so there is some people who there's value in finding a water dose that they can tolerate daily, so they don't have to think about when to dose, right? And that's getting into like the daily and as needed approach too, right?
Yeah.
So a water dose would be where you dissolve the pellet with the remedy that's co coated on the sugar pellet in water, stir it up, and then take a spoonful of that water or a sip of that water. The approach with taking that is just it slightly changes the potency a little bit, but for some people it makes it so that it's gentler on them. There is a little bit more ability to make small and subtle changes with the dose when you're using the water dose. The exact volume that you're going to be is going to be effective for you is a matter of trial and error. So figuring out what is going to work means you're going to have to start with 4 ounces, and then if that's still too strong or not working the way you want it to, then moving to 8, and then if that's not enough, then maybe dropping to 6 and figuring those things out, depending on what your ultimate goal is. So water dosing is not an absolute necessity. It does give us a little bit of wiggle room for the more sensitive folks. And sometimes, and I want to say again, sometimes can get a little bit more time out of a remedy, but that depends on, again, how the person responds. Some people are like, just subtle changes will work, almost like they're on a dimmer switch with a remedy. Some people, like me, are just a regular on-off switch. Like I'm either responding or I'm not. No amount of changing it is going
Yeah.
to change whether I respond. If I'm not responding anymore, I'm not responding. Like 2 pellets or 7 gallons of water, like it's not going to make any difference for me.
Yeah.
But there's some people who those subtle changes do make a difference, and they can go from stop responding to 1 teaspoon and do great again on 2 teaspoons for another like week or two or three or four, you know?
Yeah. That's how I feel like Avery is just, when she's done responding, she's done responding. And then my younger daughter is the dimmer switch kid. Like we can go from a fourth of a teaspoon to half a teaspoon, and she'll keep responding. So it's interesting, just the difference.
So, I mean, I obviously am somewhat biased against water dosing for my own personal reasons. I also think that like it adds an extra layer of complication to things for people. So I usually only recommend it when it's really necessary to get what we need for that individual. So either to get them a dose that they can take daily, or if they just even if we're trying to even if we have to stick with as needed dosing, if that's just the way that they can tolerate it, then that's what we do. But I try to avoid it every chance that I get because it's just so much easier to be able to like plop a little vial of a remedy, like a little vial into your bag and take it when you need to, or like I needed to do, set it down next to like my thyroid medication so that I could have it part of my daily routine that like this gets done and this gets taken. If it's like separate, we're throwing. It's like a flip of the coin, whether I'm gonna take it or
Yep.
not. All right, and then we've already touched on daily versus as needed dosing. So for ease for many people can tolerate daily dosing. It's not necessarily doing something for you every day that you take it, but it's basically making it so you don't have to pay attention to when you need to take a dose, right? So for people who can tolerate daily dosing, that's the easiest approach to take because then we don't have to be like hyper focused in on what symptoms are just part of like a normal up and down they're going to bounce back from versus what symptoms are actually a sign that they're not responding anymore. How long do we have to let it go before we can give a dose and all of those things. So I'm generally a fan of daily dosing as often as we can make that happen. But some people that's just not going to work for, and that they need to take a less frequent dose. And so in this case, we're looking more at as needed dosing. So when we see that the response from the remedy is starting to wear off, that we take a dose, right?
Yeah.
And the amount of time this could be for people varies for like how long you want to see symptoms. You know, our starting place is usually two or more symptoms for two or more days. Then we take a dose and we play from there, seeing how things are responding. Because once again, everything in homeopathy, ultra individualized, right? Did you have something you wanted to say about this part?
I feel like that there's something to say about both of those parts. On the as needed dosing, the figuring out part of that is tough because I didn't understand what I was doing at all. Obviously, you understood what was going on, and I just had to tell you what was happening. And you were able to lead me through it. But man, I loved as needed dosing. It
Yeah.
was so cool. And the reason I loved it is because of what I want to talk about with daily dosing, because I feel like as parents, we have an unlearning process that has to happen as we're daily dosing our kids, because to me, it felt like I was coming in. I didn't know a lot about homeopathy. It felt like, oh my gosh, like I'm giving my kid Advil every single day. Like it felt like I was eventually going to, like it was too much. Like it felt like medicine to me that I was giving her every day. So you kind of touched on it a little bit that it's not necessarily doing something every single day, and it's not, it's also not. We're not giving it every single day to hold the symptoms. Is that makes sense of what I'm saying? Because I thought both
Yeah,
of those things.
so an
And
analogy that we'll use sometimes is it's like pushing the button on an elevator after you've already pushed the button, but not if you keep pushing it, it's not going to make it necessarily come faster. It's already been cued to come and it's going to come when it's going to come. But just in case there's some sort of malfunction and you miss when the light goes off or something, or you get distracted and it comes and goes, like if you just keep pushing it, then it will cut you'll get it pushed again when it needs to be pushed again, right? And so it's not that it's not doing anything. It's for most people, I won't say for many people, they can actually tolerate a daily dose, and the daily dose is just enough of a nudge that it's not going to knock things over. It's not going to make anybody go any faster, but it's just there so that like if they slow down just a little bit, the nudge is there ready to go again, right? And it's like one of the things that can be tough with the as needed dosing then is that it can sometimes get people almost into the conventional medical mindset the same way, where like, oh, I have a headache, I'm going to take an as needed dose of Motrin or Tylenol or whatever, and so it should make this headache go away. And with homeopathy, we're working on helping nudge the body in the process of healing itself. So we're not necessarily saying take a dose and it should make everything stop. It should hold you to have reduced intensity, frequency, and or duration of the symptoms that you're experiencing, as long as you're still responding to that dose. And then when the intensity, frequency, or duration increases again, then you need another dose to like bring it back down and continue working toward that over time with lots of ups and downs, as we see progressive improvements in frequency, intensity, and duration. Right.
Yep. That's a much better explanation of what I was trying to say.
I mean, it does, like both of them require like shifts in mindset with things. And ultimately, it requires that you figure out what works best for you, not just for your body, but for your life, right? Because so for me, that was I was an example of I needed something that was going to work for my life. I'm not generally somebody who aggravates. So the water dosing from my homeopath was just his preference to have these like small adjustments that could be made. I know my body well enough to say, look, these small adjustments don't mean anything in my body. My body is like on or off. And if you want daily, for consistency to understand what's happening, you gotta let me do it dry. And so that's what needed to be met for my body, even though it wasn't his preference, right? And then, you know, for some other people, we're gonna have a different strategy. So it's both what works for your life and what works for your body. And you have to find the happy medium of them.
And if you've got somebody that needs water dosing, it's totally doable, even if it doesn't. Like, I just there's a jar, a teaspoon, and remedies travel with me, and that's just how it is. I have a metal water jug in my car all the time. It just travels with me, and that's how it is. And we make it work. It's doable because that's what my family needs.
So ultimately, I guess like the main and most important point is there's no one way to do it. And there's lots of ways that you can help somebody find the appropriate dose or work with your provider to find the appropriate dose. So it doesn't have to be like a dogmatic approach, because with homeopathy, we're always looking for the minimum effective dose. And that involves both the remedy and the person, right? So the minimum effective dose for me is different than the minimum effective dose for Jody. And so we have to find the strategy that works for the individual in order for it to be effective.
Yeah, and this is I say frequently, it is so important to work with a provider that number one is just a great homeopath, but also has experience with PANS pandas, because this is the part that even if we're good acute dosing mamas that have d read our books and done all of our things, it is so different when it comes to PANS pandas. And this part of it, like the management part of it and all of that figuring it out part, is so difficult. And it blows my mind how you guys do it, but you do it and you're really good at it. But it's really, really important that we're working with someone to figure all of this out, because I don't want anybody to decide homeopathy is not working, but it's only because you haven't found the right dosing strategy.
Right dosing strategy and right remedy. And there's thousands of remedies to choose from. So it's about finding the right remedy based off of the law of similars and then finding the minimum effective dose. So, all right. Anything else about dosing stuff that ever came up for you as a mom, Jody? I think we covered most
Yeah,
common
no.
things. Okay. All right. If there's something that you have a question about that we didn't manage to cover as it relates to dosing strategies, definitely let us know. I guess there's just something just jumped into my mind, like oral versus olfactory dosing, and
Oh,
then
yeah.
like any topical applications or things like that. So a lot of people will ask about topical applications for using stuff like cuts or bruises or things like that. And specifically if it'll interfere, that is a dosing strategy that you can use. It's not generally one that you're going to use for anything other than like a, like I said, like a cut or a bruise or something like that. But it still is going to have absorption into your body and it can interfere with your remedy. So topical absorb or topical application is something that you can use, in like, but it's not typically used for like chronic systemic illness. I wouldn't be recommending somebody put like, a cream of whatever on their armpit or something like that for pandas. There is one other type of dosing strategy that is olfactory dosing, and that's where you actually just like take a big smell of the remedy. It goes in through the olfactory nerve, and so it can actually be quite effective. And it's a strategy that is generally only used for the more sensitive people. It is a little bit harder to be precise with the olfactory dosing because if you're like, you know, how close you're standing to the dose, or how close you're staying to the preparation, and how long you're breathing in, if you're congested or anything like that, that can all have an impact on like the dose that you're getting. So I actually never use olfactory dosing for any of my clients. If they're that sensitive, I'm going to switch to like, you know, water dose with like a toothpick or something like that, so that it's or a drop instead of doing olfactory. But there are some people that olfactory dosing is really effective for. So that is a valid, legitimate way that you can get a homeopathic remedy. It's through the olfactory nerve that's right there. At the base of your nose. And so that is the one other approach that we should at least mention, but isn't the most common to be used. So, all right, if there's anything else that we missed for a way that you might dose a homeopathic remedy, go, you know, let us know. Send us an email, you know, reach out to us on social. We've got links to all of our social. Put a comment on the video, whatever it is. We will do what we can to address anything that we might have missed. All right. Take care, guys.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We would love to connect with you on social media and have you as part of our amazing community. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas.
If Facebook isn't your thing, you can also connect with us on Instagram and YouTube by searching for Resilience Naturopathic or clicking the links in our show notes. You can also visit our website, resiliencenaturopathic.com.
As always, we value your partnership in advocacy and education. Your support through following, sharing, rating, and reviewing our podcast is crucial in our mission to teach the world about PANS, PANDAS, and homeopathy. So if you found this podcast helpful, please leave us a review. Together, we are making a difference.
And finally, this podcast really is for you. Your questions and feedback help us make sure we are answering the right questions so you can feel confident making the next right step for your kids. Send us your questions or request guests by emailing us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com, also linked in the show notes.